everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Kelly O Show. This is episode 2 of the 2-part interview with Bethany Thompson. If you haven't yet listened to part 1, you know what I'm going to say. Go back and listen to part 1 before you listen to part 2. I want people that are listening that, again, might be in the middle or the beginning stages or just struggling with an eating disorder and thinking, how do I get past this? Am I ever going to have a normal life? Like maybe they want help, but they haven't reached out and nobody is observing this yet and they're caught. I want people to be able to see, you know, you seem very confident, very self-aware. And I love how, you know, you're still so young, but yet I look at your blog, you're strong in your faith. You're not apologetic about who you are, what you stand for. And that's very rare at such a young age. And so I commend you on that, especially considering, you know, the struggles that you've been through. So that's really an example for others that, you know, be strong in who you are and own the challenges that you've had in your life and share those. But just being self-aware and not trying to be somebody else. I love that about you. And that's really awesome. Back to what you said, you know, you brought up a couple of great points and you said that people were mentioning things to you like, hey, you need to eat a cheeseburger. And you're like, that's not helpful. And I think what a great potential post this could be. And I might talk to you about this later. Like what, for people like me or those that are out there that maybe might know somebody, you know, what are the things, what not to say to somebody that you probably look at and you're like, I mean, I see people on Instagram, they've applied to be an ambassador with us. And I hesitate to say this, but I can tell by looking at them that they need help. And yet it's, I don't know this person. What do I say? And we've had to deal with some influencers in our network in the past where we've had to, you know, they got turned down again and again for campaigns because everybody was starting to see like, you look emaciated and you're sick, but how do you say something? So what would you say? I would love to have you share, because you've come from this, and then we're going to come back to some of your experience. What are some things that for those people out there that know somebody, what not to say? And then what would you recommend could be something you would say to open up the conversation?
Right. I actually had this experience really, very recently with someone who's super close to me. So, and it was like, and it's amazing how awkward, even though I've been through this personally, how awkward that situation can be because I've been there. I know how painful it is. I know how, and especially when it is a close relationship, you don't want to break or hurt anybody or break that relationship. But I had that recently. And some things I guess I would recommend not saying, don't say like, oh, just, you know, something flippant. You know, if you mean something, if you were really, really love them and you really care about them, don't say something flippant like eat a cheeseburger. Oh, why don't you put some meat on your bones? Or, oh, like, you know, you're not eating that. Or, oh, really? You should eat that. Like any of those just slight comments like that are very hurtful to someone who's, you know, in an eating disorder, you are so insecure and you're so fragile and you're also not nourished. And so you can't really think clearly. And really, like, I mean, I just, my whole senior year is like a fog. I don't remember much of it. I feel like it was just a fog of you know, thinking about food constantly. And then people's remarks would either, especially, I know most everybody meant them in a nice way, but I just couldn't even, I didn't take them in a nice way, I think, because I was also not thinking clearly. So, the things I would recommend to say to somebody, first of all, like to be genuine and to be, if you really truly care about that person, to be real with them. And one of the best ways that I found to have awkward conversations and hard conversations with people that I love, and especially around an eating disorder, is one, sharing my own story. So with this person that I was so close to recently, I just came to her and was like, you know, I think, I know that I can see that you've been struggling in this area just because I've been there and I know how you feel. I know that you're feeling like this. I know that you're feeling insecure. I know that this was a hard struggle, and it's, and like, you may not realize this right now, but you, it is such a bondage thing. And I know that you don't want to be in bondage. I know that's how it feels. And I love you enough because, and I'm telling you this because I love you and because I want you to be free. I want you to have the same freedom that I have. I don't want you to be a slave to food. I don't want you to feel like you can't eat a cookie and be okay with that. And I don't want you to feel like you can't enjoy life to the fullest because you're cold all the time and you're hungry and you're like, just, you're hallucinating because you're so hungry. I don't want that for you. And there is freedom on the other side. I guess painting a picture of hope, like I've been where you are, or if, even if you haven't, just saying, I know how hard this is. And I know it's a real struggle. It is a mental struggle. And it's, I think so often we don't see it as the disease and the, like, we just think it's like, oh, just turn it on and off. It's not an on and off. Just say anything with anxiety, depression. It's a battle. And we need to be able to say, this is hard and you're walking through this. I want to walk beside you. And I want to say, there's hope on the other side for you. And I'll be there with you until we get there. And I want to take you there. And I want to be with you there. I'm going to fight for you, even when you don't feel like fighting, because I love you. And because I care enough for you to say, we're not going to submit to this eating disorder. We're not going to submit to slavery again, because we're called to freedom and not to slavery. So come with me and I will help you get there. So just painting a picture of hope and not just saying like, eat a cheeseburger, you know, get over it. That's not the loving thing to do. It may be something that you feel like saying, cause maybe you're frustrated, but it, you need to take the time to love them enough to be saying, to paint the picture, cast the vision of freedom, because it's possible. And it's totally possible for people that have been through an eating disorder. So that's what I would say.
Well, you make a good point that the people that are going through eating disorders or disordered thoughts around eating, it's not like it's enjoyable. Maybe sometimes the path starts as something where they're like, wow, I'm losing weight. This is awesome. Look at, I do think some folks that have gone down that path, I've talked to them. It's storming bad here. So I don't know if the mic is picking that up, but there's some,
I don't hear anything.
It's crazy. But, you know, for people that are like me, you know, when I talk about certain things with friends or family, or even, you know, my man friend, and I've shared, like, this is what's going on in my head. This is how I view myself. I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's funny. I would like to be a lot more forgiving of my body, and not every time I walk into a store that has, you know, like floor to ceiling glass windows, I avoid looking because I don't want to see my reflection because I think I'm too fat. I still have that mindset. I'm not proud of it. I'm working on it. But I think a lot of people that know somebody that maybe has, I call what I have, I would say I have some disordered thoughts around body image and disordered thoughts around eating. I'm working on it. People that know someone like me, or people that know somebody that has an eating disorder, they can tend to make it seem like, I think a lot of people that will judge them are people that maybe could be very overweight or could not be healthy or focused on healthy. And so they view it as they're choosing to be this way. They're just being extreme in their
exactly.
weight loss. So there's a lot of judgment, I think, that comes through.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of understanding that, like you said, these people are typically feeling some sort of bondage, like they're kind of trapped and they can't get out. They don't want to stay there. Would you say that most folks, from your experience, because I'm guessing this is not just you speaking about your own experience, but others that you know that have had eating disorders or have them, would you say that most people become aware at some point, this isn't right, and they want to fix it, but it's hard and they feel trapped?
Totally. I think you nailed it on the head. Like, it starts off so happy and so exciting, and you're like, I finally reached my goals. I feel amazing. And then the thought comes, what if I just lost 5 more pounds? I bet I feel even more amazing. I mean, I remember those exact thoughts. What if I lost 5 more? What if I went under 100 pounds? What if I, you know, all those thoughts of, what if I just did just a little bit more? And then all of a sudden it comes to you being like, wow, I actually am kind of miserable, but I don't know how to get out because I'm so scared to try to I don't know, to try to be healthy, because I don't know what healthy is anymore. Like I don't even know what a balanced meal looks like anymore. I don't even know what normal is. I remember telling my sister, I just want to eat a cookie like you. And I want to be normal, but I can't do that. I can't eat a cookie. Like, I don't know how you do that, but I can't do that. Like, it's just, it's like against everything in my nature right now to do that. And I think a lot of people are like that. When they get to a certain point, it's all fine and dandy until they get to that point of, wow, I'm actually trapped to this. I can't think about anything else. I can't think about anything else than food, or I'm starving. Like, I'm shaking actually, but I don't know how to, like, I'm too scared to try. And I think I remember telling my mom, I think I'll lose all self-control. Like, I'm going to get better, but I'm going to lose all self-control and I'm going to gain 300 pounds. Like, all these irrational thoughts that were totally not accurate, but I was like freaked out that I'm going to lose all this hard-earned work. But the hard-earned work only gave me skin and bones, and that was not what was healthy. So I think a lot of people do reach a certain point where they do realize I'm trapped, but I don't know how to get out. So
what was it for you then? I mean, you, and before you answer this next question, I just want to point out too, because I think this is important. A lot of people listening, I mean, it sounds like you started gymnastics, you were interested in it. It wasn't for you about weight loss. And then you started running, and it became, in the beginning, like, you didn't say, I want to lose. So some people end up in an eating disorder situation, not because they started out going, I want to lose weight and I'm going to be extreme in losing weight. It developed over time. It was a progression. And I do think that it is, whether something ends up ultimately manifesting as a full-blown eating disorder or close to it, like maybe you could look at the way I have body image issues, and a lot of people have that. It's very easy to start off fitness and getting fit for a good reason. And then you cross that line. Like you said, you cross that line where it's like 5 more pounds and you didn't need to. In fact, my trainer said to me last week, or one of the last weeks, he said something to the effect of, because he goes, how much more weight do you want to lose? And I'm like, well, at least 10 to 15 pounds. And he goes, you know that if you lost 10 pounds by next week or whatever, you'd then say you want to lose 10 more pounds and you're never going to be happy. I can tell. But so just know that, number one, I think it's important to point out that when Bethany first moved into this eating disorder situation, it wasn't that she started off with the wrong reasons. You know, she just, it moved from kind of a straight line to maybe a wavy line. And once she crossed over to one side, it you know, became full blown. What was it for you then that helped you start realizing, okay, I'm trapped? Was it somebody saying something to you? What did you do to start coming out of it? I don't know what you call it. You're not cured, but getting past it.
Yeah. No, totally. It was a combination. I remember my sister coming to me one time and saying, confiding me and just saying, I feel, because in an eating disorder, I was very, and I don't know if this is all for everybody that's gone through an eating disorder, but I was so self-focused and very selfish and just, I'm a competitive person by nature, which I think can be a strength, can be a weakness. And in this case, it was definite weakness. And I wanted to be the best. I'm the oldest. So, in my family, I have 3 younger siblings. I wanted to be the best. I want to be the skinniest. I want to be the strongest, all the stuff. And I really made her and my siblings, especially her though, cause she's my closest sister in age. I really made her feel like, I didn't want her to do any exercise. I was like the fitness queen. Like, she couldn't do that. That was my thing. And I remember her coming to me and saying, I feel like confiding me and saying, this is really hurting me. And I feel like you're doing this. And so when I saw one that I was, because an eating disorder, I think a lie is that I'm only affecting myself. Nobody else is being affected by this eating disorder. But in truth, I was really hurting my sister. I was hurting my mom, my dad. Like, it was really affecting others, not just myself. So when I saw that I was hurting my sister, who I love and we're really close, I saw that I got to a point where I was like scared. I was like, okay, I'm really skinny. I may not be able to have kids. And I was kind of freaked out about that. I was like, I really want to get married. I really want to have kids. I don't want to wreck my body. I didn't have my period for like at least 2 years. And I was like, what if this turns into something where I like legit hurt myself to a point where I can't have kids? That scared me. And I realized I had made such an idol of just myself. My body, I was just worshiping my own body and my own self. And it cost so much hurt, so much damage to not only me, but my siblings, my friends, just caused so much awkward strain between so many people. And so I realized, and then a verse that I was reading in my Bible one morning, it was as Psalm 119, and it talks about, I will run in the path of your commands, for you've set me free. And I thought, wow, like, I can be free from this. I can run to freedom. And I think that verse, plus a combination of just me saying, I'm way too skinny, I could really hurt myself and I could hurt my future because of this. And I, you know, and I started off with this vision for, I'm going to be fit and healthy for my future family, because I want to be an example to them. And I thought I could lose all of that because I just, because of this eating disorder, this obsession, and I'm sacrificing a future that I could have with family and with kids because I want to be skinny. And like, I, when I realized I am sacrificing something, when I saw the future, when I saw, wow, I could have kids or I couldn't because of this, you know, I didn't know, but I thought it could, this could hurt me. And also I saw I was hurting my relationships. I was damaging friendships. I was damaging a friendship with a sister that I love so much. I thought, okay, I really need to get over myself. I need to get over this, this eating disorder. And I really need to start attacking this with vigor. So it was a multiple different things that I, and I don't know if there was ever a huge, like one day there was this huge turning point, but it was definite, point where I saw multiple things happening and I saw, okay, that something has to change. I don't know how that's going to work and I'm scared, but I'm going to do it because it's worth, the future's worth fighting for.
That's pretty profound what you said before that. And I wasn't even kind of picking up on that when you first mentioned, you know, you hadn't had your period in 2 years and that could have an effect. And you said that you started fitness wanting to be a good example for your future family. And then you had this realization of, oh my God, what have I done to my ability to even have a family? For you to be able to see that is pretty profound. I mean, it's profound for me to hear it. And, you know, again, just the fact that you had that inner journey to be able to look at yourself in a real way and go, okay, this, look at what I've become. I think if more of us can do that in every area of our lives, I certainly have found it's helped me change to become a better person because I've been able to look at myself and, you know, kind of do that snap out of it thing. Like you're being a jerk, you're being, you know, too superficial, worried about people's approval, all that kind of stuff. The more you can be real with yourself, you'll get past things. We're closing up on our time, but I do want to, you know, you shared so much good stuff. Would you say, and I know this would be too much to be succinct about, but for you, did you, when you were addressing your eating disorder, did you go see a therapist? Did you see a counselor at your church? Did you just work through it yourself? Because I know that there's any number of ways, like there are any number of ways to get fit. What was it for you that was really helpful?
That is a good, I should have gone to a counselor and I wish I would have in some ways. I didn't. I think the main couple things that really helped me was accountability. I surrounded myself with accountability. So I had my mom, I had a really close friend, my sister, and I read a lot. I learned a lot about really what good nutrition is. And I really forced myself to be uncomfortable. It really is like something that I really am passionate about is that you have to get uncomfortable. You have to put yourself in uncomfortable positions that are scary for an eating disorder. Like you have to eat the pizza. You have to eat something. You may not like it. You may be crying when you eat it, but you have to put your, I remember eating pretzels and cheese, which is like, so, but I was sitting
That's
in the
awesome.
Floor.
That's one of my favorite food pleasures.
Oh, me too. And I was, but at the time it was so scary and I was sitting on the kitchen floor crying while eating it. My mom was with me, but I had to tell myself like, but I knew it was worth it because it was for a purpose. And at that point I was not enjoying the pretzels and cheese. I thought it was terrible. I was going to ruin everything, but my mom was there with me and she was like, we have to do this because we have to fight. And having that, having the accountability was huge. So I would say the having accountability, finding people that are not just, that are healthy, not surrounding yourself with somebody who's just like you, but people that are healthy that will help you get to a point and who love you enough to tell you the hard truth is really important.
That's, I mean, honestly, I felt like, that's a big part of why I founded Fitfluential, frankly, is because from a fitness perspective, I believe accountability and community, you know, just being around like-minded individuals can be such a huge key to success. But also when it comes to recovery or support, when you need support, being around people in your real life, but also online, that can be a positive thing. Also, of course, you know, social media, I think of eating disorders, you know, in the early years, it was really, it was heartbreaking for me. My partner at the time was like, oh, we can't hire this blogger. They're using this hashtag. And I'm not even going to say it because I don't want anybody young and impressionable to go look those up. But some of the hashtags for the disorders, it broke my heart that there is a community around hashtags. And this is just making me realize as we talk about this, we really need to have more people on the show, because I think of parents that maybe aren't picking up on what's going on with their kids, and how we can help them, you know, discover it. All right. So let's do this. Let's wrap up for today, because we've gone way over our time, and we are for sure, Bethany, I think we could potentially even have you back on the show for maybe more on this topic. I think so.
Yes.
There's so many people hurting from it, and so many people that know somebody. And I think the more we talk about it again, we can make it more comfortable. But for right now, number one, for everybody listening, we are going to have Bethany back on the show, probably to talk more on this topic, but also to talk about how, you know, what she's in a happy place now. She's got, obviously you're hearing a youngster in the background. She's got a happy family. She's running marathons. We're going to talk about running and so on. So we will definitely have her back. And of course, if you have questions specifically that you would like us to have Bethany answer the next time we have her back on, please email those to podcast@fitfluential.com. But for now, Bethany, if you can, as we wrap up, tell people where they can find you online as far as your blog and social platforms.
Totally. So you can find me at luluruns.com. So my mom used to call me Lulu. That was her nickname. So that's where the blog name came from. So luluruns.com. And you can find me at luluruns 315. That's my Instagram handle. So luluruns315, as well as on Facebook. My blog connects to my Facebook. So you can find that on Facebook. That's facebook.com/luluruns coaching. So I am a run coach too. So you can, that's why it's the coaching. So awesome. Lulu Runs Coaching on Facebook. So yeah, you can find me there. Those are my most used platforms. So
awesome. Well, again, I highly recommend checking out her blog. She's got some great stuff on there. Bethany, thank you so much. I almost said Lulu. Thank you so much for being on the show. This was really great. And I'll follow up with you afterwards to have you back. For everybody listening, again, we'll have all of the show notes on fitfluentialradio.com. You can email us for questions specifically for Bethany on this show or for the next time at podcast@fitfluentialradio.com. And in closing, I hope that this and our other shows are helping you to really learn a lot more and expose yourself to some new things and new ideas and new solutions, because it's our goal at Fitfluential to help you find your fitness. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. This marks the end of part two of this two-part interview with Bethany Thompson. I hope you enjoyed it and certainly hope you connect with Bethany directly on social media. We will link up to everything she mentioned here in the show notes over at thekellyoshow.com. If you have any questions for me, feel free to email me directly, kelly@kellyolexa.com, or you can simply fill out the contact me form on kellyolexa.com as well. You can use that email if you'd like to inquire about advertising on this show for 2020. Is when we'll be taking advertisers and sponsorships. And also, if you would like to recommend somebody, whether it's yourself or somebody that you know that we interview on the show, you can use that same method of communication. In the meantime, if you are enjoying the show, you know what I'm going to ask. We would so appreciate it if you would head on over to iTunes, not only make sure you're subscribed there and sharing with your friends, but if you would take 2 to 3 minutes of your time and leave us a review there, you have no idea how much each and every review helps this show get seen and heard by more folks who could really benefit from this information. We put a lot of time and energy and investment and creativity into this show. I know you guys are loving it because we love hearing from you. If you could just take that extra step and leave a review, we'd really appreciate it. You guys have a great rest of the week. We'll see you next time on The Kellyo Show.